Amen, church. Well, good morning. My name is Marcus Price. It is a joy to be with you all here. And at this point, I would like to invite all of the kiddos that are in Rev Kids. We have some volunteers in the back that will take you all up to upstairs and have fun. And while they are... Yeah! Woo! You can come up here, but it's going to be less fun. I love my front row. This is good. Well, would you please join me in a word of prayer this morning? Gracious and loving God, it is a joy for us to be with each other and with you here in this sacred and holy space. God, I pray that you speak to us this morning, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us this morning, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear through song and through scripture, through sacrament, and through community. God, I pray that you speak within me this morning, that you speak through me this morning, and most importantly, God, I pray that you speak in spite of me this morning. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we are in our second week of our sermon series titled More Than Enough. And so this morning we are actually going to be following exactly after the passage that we looked at last week. And so we are in the Gospel of Matthew. Oh my goodness. Micah, that is not fair. Let's take a moment here. Oh. Oh my goodness.
This is our newest baby.
Yes.
Hunter and Chelsea have welcomed their second precious daughter.
Oh. I mean, Well, amen. Oh, it is such a joy to have our community grow. That's a beautiful reminder. I know. Pastor privileges, y'all. We'll let her have this, okay? And so this morning, we're still in Matthew 14, and a little bit of context of what we spoke about last week. So Jesus receives word that his dear friend, his cousin, John the Baptist, was executed at the hand of King Herod. And so Jesus sets forth to find some kind of solitary place to pray. We see Jesus doing this, and so Jesus gets on a boat, goes to a quiet place. Unfortunately for him, he is already becoming very well known in the area as somebody that can do wonderful things, right? And so a crowd forms, and they begin asking if he would heal them. And so Jesus, instead of being frustrated or mad, shows compassion to the crowds and begins healing them. Well, the disciples, they start getting worried about how they're going to feed everybody, but Jesus asked them to collect up everything that they have, which for them, they said, right, is nothing. And yet, with the 5 loaves and with the 2 fish, they feed all 5,000 plus women and children, right? So much so that they end up having 12 baskets left over. And we spoke about how sometimes we limit what God can do, because, at least for me, sometimes I think that Jesus is asking for the solution, not what I have, right? And God can make the miracle happen, but I have to have the willingness to give to God. Well, this morning we finish up with that, and our scripture lands us exactly after in chapter 14 of Matthew, verses 22. And so we're going to be looking at really two different parties. We have Jesus doing his thing and the disciples doing their thing, okay? And so here we go. Immediately, it says, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. This is not the main point of the sermon. I just want to say This is like classic Big Brother move, right? Y'all get on the boat, and y'all go on across the water, and I, because I'm so nice, I'll dismiss the crowds. And basically, Jesus is able to send the disciples off, and now he has a time where he gets a moment of quiet. I love this. As an older sibling, I've done that. Y'all go on ahead. I'll clean up back here because I'm so nice. And then I'm able to have a moment of quiet to myself. But Jesus does that, so he dismisses the crowds. And after it says he had dismissed the crowds, finally Jesus has the opportunity. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat that had the disciples, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And so immediately in this passage, the disciples find themselves in a storm. Now, they had found themselves in a storm earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. However, and here's the crucial difference, Jesus was asleep in the boat with them during that first encounter with the storm. But now they don't have that safety blanket, right? And Jesus is going and praying. And so the disciples, even after doing a full day of ministry and miracle working and feeding people, talk about a reward, right? After they get done with all that, instead of an easy passage across the Sea of Galilee, they find themselves in a storm. And I can't help but think that this is just, yeah, I've been there, right? Sometimes I've been doing what I think I need to be doing, and I'm like, oh, if I can just get through this week, right? Have y'all ever thought that before? If I can just, no, Coop never, right? If I can just get through this week, right? And then, whew. Well, then the week ends, and then the car has a flat tire. We just find ourselves in storms. And I want to acknowledge this reality right at the beginning, because nothing that the disciples did or could have done or could have said would have allowed them to avoid this storm, right? It just happens. And I want to acknowledge the storm, because that's the context for which everything else in this passage is happening. There's a storm, and they're fearful. The disciples are. And I think that it's important for at least me to remember that it's okay to say, there's a storm. Right? There's something going on in the life of the disciples. And I know that I'm wearing y'all out with this, but when I was a chaplain at U of L, right? Thank you, Brother Tony. When I was a chaplain, I thought very early on, get this, I thought very early on that if I was doing my job well, so well, that I could make people forget that they were in a trauma hospital. Now, come on. Nothing that I could have prayed, nothing that I could have said, nothing that I could have referenced would have been able to get people to transport onto a sunny beach with 75-degree weather, right, in Cancun. But I had my supervisor remind me, saying, hey, I know that you don't want to address the situation that's happening in all these folks' lives, but here's the thing. If you start talking around the situation, or talking around the trauma, or talking around, you end up seeming disinterested, not genuine. And so, first and foremost, are we willing to admit, hey, there's storms that happen in our lives, in the lives of our fellow, you know, church folk, in our church family, in our community? Or are we just, is it too uncomfortable? Do we want to just say, you know what? This is just a test. Or this is just a trial. And I hear this a lot, and I don't think that it's a bad thing. I don't think it comes from a bad place, right? To say, well, Jesus, he was just testing the disciples, right? Jesus was praying. Jesus wasn't sitting there in the middle of a wave with a clipboard saying, well, you know, James, he's screaming a little bit too loud for me. That's a C in faith. No. And the reason I want to make sure, because the second passage kind of shows, hey, these storms are not just trials. They're not just ways for us to prove our faith or prove our commitment to Jesus. Because when Jesus acknowledges that the disciples, he gets done praying, and then he sees that the disciples are in the midst of a storm. Jesus doesn't just stand on the shore and say, "Oh, that looks rough. Hopefully they can make it through." Jesus does what? Early morning came. Jesus begins walking towards them on the sea. Now, to give you context of what's going on in the minds of the disciples, when they see someone walking on the sea, instead of them thinking, oh, it's that guy that has already done miracles, right, that just got done feeding 5,000 people, immediately they go, it's a ghost! Great! Now there's not just a storm, but the Grim Reaper's here too. That's great! Awesome! Right? That's what was going on in their head. But then Jesus brings comfort and says, immediately speaking to them, and says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Because the second place I want us to stop in this passage is that Jesus is present in our storms. Now, it's true that sometimes my decisions, and my mom tells me this all the time when we were growing up, make good choices. Right? Have y'all ever heard this? Right? Make good choices, because actions have consequences, right? Sometimes the storms in my life, I brought them on myself. Nobody needed to help me out at all with the situation. And sometimes the storms that happen in my life are because of somebody else, right? A decision was made. And unfortunately, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, God allows us to have that free will thing. Ugh. Come on, Kendall. Like, come on. And so I'm allowed to make choices in a world that is broken, is fallen, right? And so these choices can cause consequences. And then sometimes, like the disciples, there's nothing I could do. There's not a thing I could have done to avoid this thing or that thing. It just happens. Regardless of any of that, Jesus, instead of being passive and just watching and waiting and seeing, okay, is this the time that Peter's going to do X, Y, Z? Or is this when Matthew really shows me what he's made of? Jesus walks to them. And in the moment of their fear, instead of watching what they would do, reassures them, right? I'm here. Take heart. I'm with you. Jesus wants to offer comfort in the storm, and does. If we are, you know, of sound mind enough to not say, it's a ghost, right? Or, oh, no, nobody's here, I'm all alone. And Jesus is calling out at the wave saying, I'm here, right? I couldn't convince people that they weren't in the trauma hospital, but I could bring presence to somebody, right? I could remind folks, if they were people of faith, that, hey, they're not alone in this, right? That they, yes, I don't know why it happens. I don't know why things like that occur. And sometimes it's just chaos. It just happens, right? But if that's going to be part of it, then Jesus is going to be there too, right? And so Jesus walks out and reassures them. And the story could end right there, right? They know that Jesus is there and there's comfort. And there's peace. But we get a little extra. And we get what I like to say is the response from good old boy Peter. Don't you love Peter? He's just good old boy Peter, right? Well, that's not enough, just knowing that Jesus is out there. So Peter answers him right after Jesus makes his presence known, and he says, Lord, if it is you, which first off, if it's anyone else that's walking on the water, I would be concerned, right? You know, I don't know who else in you know, ancient Galilee is walking on water, but Peter's just doubling down, right? Don't you love just a double down? Lord, if it is you, if it really is Jesus, command me to come to you on the water. That's bold. Okay. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And I'm going to finish all of this, and then I'm going to circle back, okay? Just so y'all know what I'm doing. And so he starts walking on water and came towards Jesus. But when Peter, noticed the strong winds, right? Because there's a storm. He became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. So storm over now, right? And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, I have heard this passage before. And this is what we call the reception history, how we have heard different passages being preached, and what's the important parts that we are gleaning from it, right? That we are receiving and applying to our lives. And I've heard all kinds of stuff. The most common that I've heard is this is a story about Peter and his lack of faith, right? Has anyone else heard that? You don't have to raise your hand, but usually the focus is Peter, if he would have believed more, then he wouldn't have sank, right? And so we as good Christians, as good church folk, right, we need to have better faith because then we won't sink. Sure. But I want to push back against this because my biggest question is right at the end, and I'm gonna really ask this and then kind of look at let this color the rest of the passage. What is Jesus talking about when he tells Peter, oh, you of little faith? Have you ever asked yourself that? What is Jesus saying? Oh, you of little faith. First and foremost, Peter wanted to double down that it was really Jesus out there on the water, even though I'm sure that John looked at James and said, well, who else is it going to be, right? But Peter wanted to make sure, right? That's not little faith. Because he's not saying, if it's really you out there, Baal, or someone else. But he's saying, if it's really you, the only way that I'm getting out of this boat is if it's Jesus, right? And then, when Peter takes that first step, and that second step, already he is transcending what we think as human beings as possible. I could go and get a pool of water and I would be fairly sure that I could step in and my Vans will get wet, right? Because Peter is transcending even what is expected because he is stepping out towards Jesus. That's not little faith. And then finally, when Peter starts to sink, who does he call out to? Calls out to Jesus, right? Lord, save me. He doesn't say, disciples, save me, or somebody else, or Herod, save me. He says, Lord, Jesus, save me. That's not little faith. So what is Jesus telling Peter in this moment? I don't think that it is little faith in Christ, right? Because when they get back to the boat, Jesus didn't go and reprimand the other 11 that stayed in the boat, right? You know what they were called? Disciples. They're still disciples, right? Nothing changed. They still witness the works of Jesus, and they go on, and the passage right after this is healing and teaching. They didn't get left on the shore or say, y'all sit in the boat since you like it so much, right? But Peter called out to Jesus, and Jesus invited. And Peter took the step and did something amazing. No one else in the scripture can say that they also walked on water except for God, right? God is over the seas and the earth and the depth and the heavens, right? No one else can do this, but Peter did. Because he stepped out of faith. But when he stopped, it says, and Brenda, if you wouldn't mind going back to, let's see, go back one more. But Peter started to sink because he noticed the strong wind. And I think that the question is not doubt in or having little faith in Christ. I think when Peter started to recognize that, hey, wait a second, I shouldn't be out here. Right?
Right, you're right.
It's a storm. And not only is it a storm, but now he has no more safety net. He has no more secure land. He is literally in the midst of the chaos. And so I think that Jesus is saying, hey, you were doing it. Why did you doubt yourself? I was getting you out here. I'm the one that invited you out here. Nobody else. And you took the step, and you were doing it. Why did you start doubting you? I'm the one that called you out here. I'm the one that's doing the miracle, right? And I think it goes with last week, right? Lord, we have nothing. No, you don't. You have something. Why are you doubting in your own ability? Why are you doubting in the midst of everything going on that I'm going to continue to be with you? Because what I think the so what, right, of this passage is this next one, right? It is Jesus offers us more than enough security. The disciples that were in the boat, they were already in the presence of Jesus, right? Jesus was watching them, extended out security and safety to them. I am here. You do not need to be afraid. And that's great. Then good old boy Peter wanted to take it up one more step and said, hey, I want to come to you directly. Okay. And there was an invitation, right? In the midst of the storm. And as soon as Peter began to falter, Jesus was right there. There's security in that, right? It's not saying that the storm didn't happen, and it doesn't mean that the storm didn't do something. It was traumatic, right? There was fear. But Jesus is able to say, hey, even if you step out in the storm, and even if you begin to sink, there are 11 other people in that boat that didn't walk on water. And so Jesus offers us more than enough security. The question really is, what is worth stepping out of the boat for? Because we all have storms in our lives. We all have seasons where things are difficult. And sometimes we just need to bunker, you know, hunker down and stay in the boat and make sure that we get past whatever is going on, whatever that storm is, whatever that situation is, whatever that difficulty is. Sometimes we just need to stay put and know that Jesus is out there. And then sometimes we'll get a little inkling in our head that, hey, things may be tough right now. And y'all, it's tough out there, right? It's tough out there. But then I think, you know what? I'm feeling something in my heart. I don't know why Peter decided to get out of the boat, but he knew that the only reason I'm going to go out of the boat is because of Jesus. And I'm going to find that deeper connection. And so then, he took a chance. He took a risk. Knowing that Jesus was out there, yeah, Peter sank. And sometimes I think we get hung up on Peter sinking. But before Peter sank, Peter walked on water. And I wonder what is worth weathering the storm for us. Knowing that there are things going on, that there are storms present. I can't speak for each and every one of you, but I know that there's things that we all are going through. And yet, I wonder what is worth taking that risk for. I know that last week, Michael was telling me that everybody went on, our church went to Grace Kids. Amazing. School's coming back. We're busy. There's a lot of stuff going on, right? And yet, you take that time, you take that step, right, and do something incredible. Was it a good time, Micah? It was a great time, right? Maybe we have to stay in the boat, and that's just fine. But that doesn't mean that we can't take a chance, that we can't step out and do something amazing knowing that Christ is there to keep us safe. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we come together this morning at your table, we are reminded of your mighty and holy works that sometimes we can't explain, but God, that you invite us to. God, I know that there are storms that we are facing in our lives. God, you know the storms that are in my life. And yet, I pray that you allow us to recognize more than anything that your presence is there with us. That we are not going through these storms alone. That we are not having to figure out how to get out of these situations, but that in drawing you close, that we have peace and comfort in spite of what we are experiencing. And I pray, God, that you allow us to recognize those times where we have to stay put. And I also pray, God, that you allow us to become aware of the times where we can take that bold step forward, walking to you in faith and in hope. I lift up those, God, this morning that are dealing with things that seem unmanageable. May we as a church surround those who are struggling and suffering with the reminder that, God, you are wanting us to be a community of love and compassion and kindness. Let us be able to love and bring hope to those in our church family. Be with us and be for us. It's in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.